Oh, maybe make a start this evening with 201. Hymn number 201. It is finished. What a gospel. Nothing has been left to do but to take with grateful gladness what the Saviour did for you. Verse 3 gives a challenge and a question to each one this evening. It is finished. What a gospel. Jesus died to save your soul. Have you taken his salvation? Have you let him make you whole? It is finished. Hallelujah. Christ the work has fully done. All who will may have their pardon through the blood of God's dear Son. I will stand and sing 201.
It is finished. It's
and pray and ask for God's help this evening as the gospel is preached. Let's just pray. Our Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank thee, our Father, again for this time we can come together and open the doors here in the hall and open thy word and to present the glorious message of the gospel. We thank thee, our Father, again for the great provision of salvation that thou hast made for us. We were just guilty sinners. We were lost. We were helpless, our Father. We had sinned against thee. And yet we thank thee for thy love towards us. And we thank thee that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we thank thee, our Father, for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that he is thy well-beloved Son. And yet, our Father, he went willingly to the cross at Calvary, and he gave his life for us. And there, our Father, upon that cross, he bore the punishment for our sin so that we might be saved. And our Father, we thank thee for the great promise that we have in thy word, that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. We acknowledge, our Father, that we cannot do anything to save ourselves, but we thank thee that the Lord Jesus has cried, "It is finished." We thank thee that the work that he has done at Calvary is sufficient to save every soul that will come to him in faith. And our Father, we pray for thy help this evening as we open thy word. Help us, our Father, to make the message of the gospel clear and plain. And our Father, we pray for those that are in the meeting this evening that are not yet saved. Our Father, we pray that they might realize that they need the Lord Jesus to be their Savior, that they need their sins forgiven. And our Father, we pray that tonight they might put their trust in thy Son and be saved for the great eternity. And so, our Father, we just commit ourselves to thee and pray for thy presence, pray for thy help, and pray, our Father, that all will be done for thy glory and the glory of thy beloved Son. We just commend ourselves to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I would like to give everybody a very warm welcome this evening. It's the first time in the hall. We give you a double welcome. We really are glad to see you. Thank you for coming. We're glad to see some of the boys and girls that we haven't seen over the summer months. We're glad to see them back again with us. And we trust that each will listen carefully tonight to the message of the gospel, and that even tonight you could be saved and know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and start on your way to heaven. Now, there's some announcements that I'd like to make just for this hall, just for the week that we've entered. On Thursday evening at 7:45 is our prayer meeting. And then next Sunday, next Lord's Day at 11, is the breaking of bread, the prayer meeting at 6:30, and the gospel at 7. And the speaker expected next Lord's Day is Daniel Dover from the Glengormley Assembly. And we announce the meeting subject to the will of the Lord. And we give you all a very warm welcome to return if the Lord has not yet come. Now, I would like to turn to the Bible, the Word of God, and I've four readings I would like to take from the Scriptures this evening. And as the boys and girls will know, there are four books at the start of our New Testament. We call them the Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want to take a reading from each of those books. We'll just take them as in the order that they're found, not the order I'm going to speak on them, but we'll take them in the order that they are found. And the first one is Matthew. Matthew in chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and this is the story of the Lord was walking in the water to the disciples. He came to the boat, and then, you remember, Peter wanted to go to the Lord in the water. And Peter says in verse 28, Peter answered him, the Lord Jesus, and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then over to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, and this is Resurrection Day. And we read in verse number 1, "When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him, the Lord Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, 'Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him.'" And then over Luke's Gospel, Luke on chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and this is the story of the prodigal son, which will be very familiar to most here, the prodigal son. And we're just going to jump into the middle of the story. and verse number 17. And it says of the prodigal son that when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. And then last reading in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 19. This is the story of the cross, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And we're just coming to the very end of those 6 hours that the Lord Jesus hung upon the cross. In verse number 28, John chapter 19, verse 28, and it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a set of vessel full of vinegar, and he filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." And those are our 4 readings this evening, and we know that God will bless the reading of his word. Now, I don't know whether anybody has been lost in the past. I remember getting lost in the Sunday school outing, to great concern to my mother and to Meredith's mother as well. There was a little girl at the tent meetings, and she thought she was lost. She missed a bus at the end of the meeting during the week, and she burst into a flood of tears because she thought, "How am I going to get home?" But there was very kind people that helped her and got the bus turned round. We met a man on the north coast during the July there, and he was part of a volunteer with a search and rescue team, and he had 2 little dogs with him, and they were fantastic. And those wee dogs were trained to hunt out people that were lost, and he would be called out regularly to go and find people maybe that had dementia and had wandered away and were lost maybe out in the countryside. And those little dogs were trained just to pick up the scent of a person and to work their way through an area until they find the person who was lost. And you see, if you're lost, and if you're in need of rescue, your location has to be established. Somebody needs to find you. You need to know where you are. And there's an online service. I don't know whether you've come across this. It's called What 3 Words, right? And you can get it as an app on your phone. And it has taken the whole globe, the whole surface of the earth, and divided it up into little squares, just a 3-meter square. Probably just roughly the size of this platform, each square. And to each of those squares, right across the globe, is given a unique set of 3 words, right? And if you were lost, somewhere remote in the moors or whatever, and you couldn't say, "I'm on such and such a street," if you had that app, you could say, "There's 3 words, and that just identifies my location." And then rescuers could find you and come right to where you were in need. Of course, that depends on your phone working and being able to have reception and all that. But we have read 4 passages of Scripture tonight. And out of those 4 readings, I want to pick 3 words out of each of those. 3 words that will help us not think about our physical location and physical rescue like that, but something much more important. We want to think about your spiritual condition. Your spiritual position as far as God is concerned, and a spiritual rescue and salvation. And you see, these 3 words will help us identify where we are as far as God is concerned. They also show us God's way of salvation. And I want to leave these 4 sets of 3 words with you this evening. Unless you we miss them as we go through, I want just to leave them with you now, because when we read about the prodigal son, he was lost. You know what made the difference for that young man? It was when he got to the point of realizing and recognizing that he was lost, and he could say, I have sinned. That's the first three words. I have sinned. You see, we have a problem that is serious, and we need our sin dealt with. When we come to John 19, we have God's great provision for your sin and for your need. And that provision was when the Lord Jesus gave his life for you at Calvary. And he uttered these three words at the end of it. He says, "It is finished." It is finished. We want to think about what Christ has done for you this evening. And you might say, can I rely upon him? Well, I want to tell you that he rose from the dead on the third day. On that resurrection day, the angels could say to those women who came to the tomb, they could say, he is risen. You see, he gave a promise that was absolutely sure and certain. He promised he would rise from the dead, and he kept his word. And you and I can trust him completely for salvation. You say, how can I be saved? You know, when we think about Peter, Peter was in grave danger of perishing in the water. And in his trouble and in his danger, he cried three words. He says, Lord, save me. You know what? The Lord Jesus just reached out and caught him and saved him. He'll do the same for you tonight. If you cry to him for salvation, he will save you. If you trust him, he will save you and bring you to heaven. But you know, if you want to be saved this evening, you need to get to the point that this prodigal son got to. And he could say, I have sinned. You know, this son, his father said about him, this my son was lost, but is found. Why did he say that this my son was lost? Well, this young man, he had left home. He really wanted to get away from his father's house. He wanted to go to a far country to live life just as he pleased, not under the control of his father. And he took the money that his inheritance that he thought he deserved, and he took his money. He went up from his father's home. His father didn't hear anything from him. We don't know how long he was away. There was no mobiles to keep in touch. And this young man, he went into the far country, and he thought he could have fun. He thought he could live life to the full, away from the father's house. And it says he wasted his substance, he wasted his money with riotous living. And there's many in this world, and they're doing just that. They're trying to have fun. They're trying to enjoy life. They're trying to live just as they please, with no thought of God or the consequences of sin. But this young man, he discovered that you can't just do as you please. His fun came to an end. You see, his funds came to an end. His money ran out. And when his money ran out, his friends ran away. And all the fun that he was having ended. You know, this young man, he very quickly discovered that this far country that he was in became quite a disappointment. And it says that he ended up feeding swine in a field. And nobody gave him anything to eat. And in fact, there was a famine arose in the land. And this young man realized that he was in trouble. He says, I'm going to perish with hunger. He realized that if he sat where he was going to die because he had no food to eat. And that's when it says he came to himself. He came to his senses. He realized, I'm lost. And he remembered back to his father's house, where even the servants in the house were looked after and given food. And here he was, sitting in a field amongst pigs, the last place he should have been, the last place he wanted to be. But you know, sin brought him right down to the very gutter. And that's why we need to remind you this evening that you might want to live as you please, but remember, sin leaves people broken and ruined and in danger of perishing. You see this? The Bible would tell us that all have sinned. There's no exceptions. Every one of us have sinned against God. And like that prodigal son, we're at a distance from God. And we're lost as far as God is concerned and away from God. And listen this evening, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. If your sins are not forgiven, you will die in your sins and you will come under the wrath and the judgment of God for your sin forever. And we cannot be in heaven because of our sin. There is no sin in heaven. But you, this young man, says he came to himself. He realized that he needed to get back to his father. But you know, when he got up and returned to his father, it was not with any sense of entitlement. He realized that the blame for his condition and his trouble, it lay completely with himself. He said, I'm going to go back to my father and say, I have sinned. He realized that he had done wrong, not just against his father. He says, I have sinned against heaven. And tonight, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to ever be in heaven, you need to get to that point and realize, I don't deserve to be there, for I have sinned. And everyone that is going to heaven today has got to that point and realized, I don't deserve God's love, for I have sinned against him. And that young man, when he returned in repentance to his father, he found in the father's house a great provision for him. There was food. There was new clothes. You know, there was love in that home that dispelled the loneliness that he had in the field. And there was a joy in that home that far exceeded any of the fun and the pleasures that he had tried to get in the far country. And you know, tonight, we want to tell you about God's great provision for you tonight in salvation. For God has provided a way of salvation that your sins can be forgiven, that you can be brought back to God. And there's a provision for you that is sufficient to meet your need. The Lord Jesus said, at the end of those 6 hours upon the cross, it is finished. You know, our last Prime Minister, in his resignation speech, he started it with this, my work is done. You know, history will no doubt debate whether he had actually finished all that he set out to do, whether his work was really done. But certainly his end, his time as Prime Minister was done. But you know, sometimes we think we're finished, right? And we go to do a job and we think we're finished and we're not quite finished. But if you want to be sure you're finished doing something, you need to have worked out what it is you need to do. You need to have a plan and goals. And then you can get to a point where you know I've finished all that I set out to do. You know, as far as God's plan of salvation, God had a plan of salvation even before Adam sinned in the garden. And God had a plan to deal with the problem of sin. And a plan to defeat the devil and to deliver those who had sinned from their sin and from the judgment of God. And that plan, God made clear down through the centuries, but that plan was centered on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That plan required the Son of God to come into the world and to give his life for you and me. And that's why we read that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Lord Jesus came in obedience to his Father and came to give his life for you and me. And as we, you see, God's plan, it required a person, a man who was perfect and sinless to be able to take the punishment for others. And there's only one person, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who was perfect and holy. Every one of us has sinned against God. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, he came to the world and he was holy. He was perfect. He always did those things that pleased God. And his life showed us that he was sinless. His life proved that he was God, that he was equal with God. But you know, his life alone was not sufficient to take away our sin. He had to go to the cross. He had to give his life for us. And we read how that God allowed wicked men to take his son and to nail him to a cross, to do their worst to him. And for 6 hours, the Lord Jesus hung upon that cross and suffered for sin, suffered the judgment of God. You know what? For 3 hours, he hung in the blazing sunshine. At midday, we read that there was a darkness over the whole land. You know, this last week, many people right across the country were interested in the eclipse. But you know, this was no eclipse. This was a supernatural darkness that God sent that we might not see the depth of suffering that the Lord Jesus endured for you and me. But you know, it came to the end of those 6 hours. When we read in John 19 that Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. You see, the Lord Jesus, he knew that the suffering for sin was complete. He knew that the punishment and the payment for our sin was completed in full. And it was only then he cried triumphantly, "It is finished." You know, many years ago, back in 2003, there was a war in Iraq. And after 2 months of the initial invasion, the President of the United States, George Bush, he was flown into an aircraft carrier that was in the Gulf. And he stood on the deck of that aircraft carrier. And there's a big banner on the ship which said, "Mission accomplished." And the president declared victory in that war that day. It was followed by some 8 years of conflict. And thousands of lives were lost. You see, he was just premature in declaring victory. And in fact, he admitted himself that it was a mistake. See, his mission wasn't accomplished. His work wasn't finished. He didn't know what was going to happen in the future. But listen tonight, we can have confidence in the words of the Lord Jesus. We can trust him because he is God. It says he, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished. The Lord Jesus knows all things. He knows the future. He knows the end from the beginning. And he knew that all that God required for our salvation had been done. And God was satisfied. And that the provision of salvation was sufficient to meet your need. And at the end of those 6 hours, he cried, "It is finished." And you say, how can we be sure that his word is sure? How can we trust his word and his promises? Well, we take those other three words. He is risen. Because tonight, we present to you a Savior who not only died on the cross for your sin, but a Savior who rose from the dead. And he had promised his disciples before he went to the cross, he says, "I'm going to be crucified." But he says, "On the third day, I will rise again." And that was a promise that no ordinary man could make and keep. Not one of us could promise to rise from the dead and keep a promise like that. The Savior was unique. And if we had read in Matthew's account of the resurrection, the angels, Matthew adds another three words that the angels said. "He is risen as he said." See, his promise is sure. His word is true. And we can trust him. We can take him at his word. The very proof that his work was finished was the fact that God raised him from the dead. And tonight he's a living Savior. He's in heaven. He wants to save you. He wants you to trust him. Be like a Peter. Would you this evening be like Peter and cry, "Lord, save me"? Peter, in a moment of time, he discovered that he was sinking in the water. He discovered he was helpless. He discovered he was drowning and he was in danger of dying right there. And he cries to the Savior, "Lord, save me." There was nothing more important to him at that moment in time than being saved. It wasn't something that you could leave for a few days and think about and meditate upon and come back to in a month's time. Peter needed to be saved, and he needed to be saved right there and then. And he cried to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, save me." And the Savior just stretched out his hand and caught him. The Lord Jesus was right there, ready, able, willing to save Peter. And tonight, as I would bring the meeting to a close, the Lord Jesus is able to save you right now. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." This is a matter that is urgent. We don't know what a day will bring forth. We don't know what will take place tomorrow. The Lord Jesus is coming back to take those who are saved to heaven. Tonight, are you ready? He could come at any time. He could come this evening. And our prayer and our desire this evening, that if you're not saved, if your sins are not forgiven, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we long that you'll be like Peter of old. And just cry out this evening, "Lord, save me." You know, it was a simple plea, but it was heard by the very Son of God. And he was right there, willing and able and ready to save. You know, this evening, we trust that you'll think about these words. Just keep those three sets of three words in your mind. You need to get to that point, if you're going to be in heaven, to appreciate, "I am a sinner," and to appreciate before God, "I have sinned." But to know this evening, that the great provision of salvation has been made for you at Calvary, and the Lord Jesus cried, "It is finished." And you can trust him, because he is risen. And tonight, would you not cry out, "Lord, save me"? Take God at his word. Trust Christ as your Savior and know your sins forgiven. Thank you for listening this evening. We trust that God will bless each one. Now we're just going to bow our heads and pray and commend ourselves to God. Our Father, we bow again in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that thou would bless thy word that has been read. Pray for each one that is in the meeting this evening that are not yet saved. Our Father, we pray that they might realize their great need of Christ this evening. And our Father, we pray that they might come to him and trust him. And our Father, that they might know their sins forgiven. Our Father, we just bow and we thank thee again for thy love. Thank thee for the great provision of salvation. And we thank thee that the Savior could cry, "It is finished." And we thank that he is able and willing to save. Our Father, we just commend ourselves to thee and pray that thou would bless each one. And our Father, that even tonight we might hear news of salvation. We just commend ourselves to thee and pray that thou would take us home in safety and watch over each one throughout another week in thy will. And we ask it in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're going to close with a hymn. 292. I know this is 292 is a favourite of the young ones, and we sing it in Sunday school and in our children's meeting. "The Lamb of God for sinners died, a victim on the tree. He gave himself a sacrifice to set the guilty free. I seek no other argument, I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. The Saviour said, 'It is finished.' It would be great tonight, as you would think upon what he has done, that you could say with the words of this chorus, 'It is enough,' and that you would trust the Lord Jesus." We'll sing verses 1 and 3 of 292, standing to sing, and then our meeting is over. I seek no other argument.
Thank you.